You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is good? It's your boy Sosa Cremenges, fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus and the host of the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Locked On Rams podcast. Today's episode, I'm sure you guys have had a good morning and a good night and probably slept pretty well last night too, is going to be our first game recap of the 2020 NFL season. Obviously, we're going to be covering the Los Angeles Rams' contest on Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys, to which the Rams were victorious by a score of 20-17. You know, we're going to break this down into three segments like we always do. And to begin, we're going to start to highlight some of the offensive players. And so, you know, you got to start at the quarterback position. Jared Goff, he went 20-31 in the game and threw 275 yards. And he did not actually have any touchdowns. And he did throw an interception, though. The interception was a, you know, a missed call by the refs where Goff's helmet was hit pretty damn badly. It was nearly halfway off his head. And so, you know, it kind of knocked his vision off there, and he just threw an unfortunate pick, which should have been negated. But Jared Goff had a great day. He really had a great day. He made a lot of good decisions. And outside of maybe, you know, one missed pass, I think, to Tyler Higbee up the seam somewhere in that third quarter. And, you know, that very, very last sequence there where Jared Goff had a rollout, a design rollout, and it was kind of like a play action boot, and he kind of just tucked it and ran for 4 yards. It was around the 3 minute mark in the fourth quarter. Instead of airing it out to Cooper Kupp, who was open down the field, and he had about 2 yards of separation, and you know, had Goff hit Kupp on that route, the game was probably over. But Goff played the more conservative route and just carried the ball himself, and you know, had a 4 yard gain. That was kind of the theme of the Rams' game, really. All contests was, let's be conservative, let's not beat ourselves, let's trust our talent, and let's just get the job done. And that's pretty much what they did. And then, you know, carrying on into the backfield, you had Malcolm Brown, who led the way with 18 carries for 79 yards and 2 touchdowns for an average of 4.4 yards. Rookie Cam Akers also had 14 carries. He only had 39 yards, which was only 2.8 yards per carry. But a lot of Akers' usage was really, you know, monotone and boring, really. It was a lot of 12 and 13 personnel reps to where he was kind of just running right up the gut and not doing anything else. And so it was quite unimaginative, but it was good to see him get his feet wet. And he, you know, he flashed a little bit of explosiveness there. And then carrying on to the receiver position, Robert Woods highlighted the day with 6 receptions for 105 yards. Cooper Kupp had 4 receptions for 40 yards. Van Jefferson, the rookie, had himself 1 catch for 31 yards down the left sideline, which was an absolute beauty from Goff, and just a gorgeous catch from Jefferson as well. And then the tight end position, Gerald Everett got himself 1 catch for 7 yards. He did have a drop on another one that should have been an easy 10-yard reception. And then Tyler Higbee continued to show out and really carried over from his end of his 2019 season, where he you know, absolutely dominated. And today, he put together a 3-catch, 40-yard performance. And so the offense was relatively solid. You know, there wasn't anything spectacular going on. There wasn't anything jaw-dropping in terms of the huge plays and anything in that regard. But I was very impressed with just how fluid they were, how cohesive they were, how they were able to mesh their concepts, similar to how they did in 2018 in terms of, you know, they want to run the ball often and early. Then they want to run the rest of that offense throughout that play-action game. And that's going to kind of allow them to start to attack the deeper parts of the field and push the ball down the field. And so they did a great job of doing that. They did exactly that, really. Sean McVay called a conservative game, but it worked to perfection. You know, there was a clear intent to help the offensive line and even potentially, you know, I don't want to say cover up, but not allow the Cowboys' defensive line to win, cause issues and essentially win the game and put the game on their backs. And so, you know, the Rams did a ton of misdirection, a ton of motion. You know, they had a lot of screens, all kinds of screens to tight ends, to running backs, to receivers. And, you know, so they were really trying to do anything they could to knock the Cowboys' pass rush off plan. And it worked to perfection because Jared Goff was only sacked, I believe, one time. That might be incorrect, but I believe he was only sacked one single time. And it was on a 3rd and 12 when the Rams really had no choice but to kind of attack the deeper part of the field in a traditional passing and drop back setting. And so I thought the offense was really good. You know, they got to clean up the red zone woes, which kind of continued from last season. The Rams, you know, they had two trips in the red zone somewhere in that first to second quarter, and they came away with 3 points, which was just unacceptable. Obviously, there was the missed kick from Samuel Sloman, which we'll talk about later in this episode, as well as, you know, then having to settle for another kick on from Sloman because the Rams elected to run the ball on 3rd and 4 once in the red zone, which was a little strange. But like I mentioned before, very conservative game plan. That it was clear that the Rams wanted to be conservative and not lose the game. And, you know, ultimately they did enough to win this game. And it was an impressive performance for the Rams opening the season, really, at SoFi Stadium with their new uniforms, with the new offense, the new defense, a lot of new coordinators, and a lot of new players against a juggernaut and an absolute powerhouse in the Dallas Cowboys, who a lot of people think might, you know, be a Super Bowl favorite or an NFC favorite to represent the Super Bowl. And so you really couldn't ask for much more for the Rams to come out and establish home field, you know, and start the season 1-0 and allow this momentum to carry forward next week against another NFC East opponent in the Philadelphia Eagles, who looked very, very shoddy today. The Eagles did not look impressive. And so if that's the version of the Eagles that the Rams are going to get next week, they really got a good chance to start off this season 2-0, but we're not going to get ahead of ourselves here. And coming up in just a moment, we're also going to delve deep into how the defense performed and what they did well and what they didn't do well. And while we've got you, make sure to come connect with us on Twitter for all the coverage you need on the Los Angeles Rams. You can find me at QB's MVP, and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. You've counted on restaurants. Now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they are still open for delivery with DoorDash. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDON. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually, we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I'd lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I've had a long day at work, or sorry honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. GetRoman.com/XXX and complete an online visit. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. In the last segment, I teased the performance of the defense, to which we'll now deep dive. And so, you know, the defense had an up and down performance. It was tough to truly pinpoint just how good or bad they performed. But, you know, the Cowboys do field arguably the best and most explosive offense in the NFL in 2020. And the Rams managed to hold them to 17 points. Three of which never really should have been scored because of, you know, the missed Goff helmet hit to the head interception that, you know, allowed the Cowboys to start in the Rams' side of the field in great field position and ultimately score 3 points for free. But so, you know, the defense really performed well, and it was really interesting just to see the scheme, the new scheme under defensive coordinator Brandon Staley, and just how they varied their personnel groupings and their usage of players, because the Rams really did unique things on the defensive side of the ball in terms of their week one usage. And so, you know, starting on the defensive line was Michael Brockers, who got himself two tackles, and he had a sack as well as a tackle for loss. You know, Aaron Donald showed up, he got himself one sack as well, and one tackle for loss as well. And then next to them, you know, the Rams rotated a handful of guys. There was a few guys that made impacts in terms of Morgan Fox scooping up three tackles, and Greg Gaines even kind of getting some run in there. And you know, the defensive line didn't do great in terms of stopping the run necessarily, but they did enough to contain Ezekiel Elliott. And, you know, they didn't apply a ton of pressure, but they also didn't get a lot of chances to do that either. And so It was tough to truly evaluate, but the defensive line, I would say, did okay. They did okay. I think they got room for improvement. I think they could take the next step forward because there's a ton of talent on the defensive line. They did get gashed a little bit in the running game. So you do want to see guys like Sebastian Joseph Day and Greg Gaines and, you know, the backups that are going to have to now take over for a guy like A'shaun Robinson, who's not going to play. You want to see them just step up. And so it's going to be a whole effort from the whole front seven and not just the defensive tackles. And so, you know, the defensive line starts with those guys, but everyone needs to play better on that side of the ball in terms of stopping the run. Carrying over to the linebackers, Micah Kizer led the team with 7 tackles, though he looked a little bit slow in terms of the coverage ability. He was okay. He had some big hits and he was moving around a bit and, he looked active, but he definitely looked a little bit slow in terms of just in his reads and in his coverage. Next to him was Kenny Young, who registered 5 tackles of his own. He was absolutely flying around to the ball. So it was good to see Kenny Young play. And even Justin Hollins registered a snapper too. I've seen him out there as well. I don't know to what degree exactly how many snaps he's seen, but I definitely seen Justin Hollins out there as well. And then traveling to the last, portion of the defense, there was the secondary. And so I thought the secondary played really well. The only issue with the secondary, I think, was, again, the conservative play calling of the Rams in terms of they wanted to allow their defensive backs to play so far off of these receivers and Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb is very often they were giving them a 5-yard cushion, a 7-yard cushion. And so, the Cowboys really dinked and dunked and had all these opportunities for free and easy and cheap completions. And so that was a little bit disheartening to see because, the Rams paid a guy like Jalen Ramsey $105 million. They invested in guys like Troy Hill, and we've heard so many good things about guys like Darius Williams, and you want to see these guys used to their full potential in terms of getting up on that line of scrimmage, getting in a receiver's face, getting physical, kind of allowing these guys to mug receivers and get down and dirty and just putting more on their plate, as opposed to you want to see these guys win the game as opposed to just not trying to lose the game. And so that would be something I hope the Rams kind of deploy moving forward. And it ultimately may just be a week one schematic thing against the dangerous weapons of the Dallas Cowboys, but only time will tell as we move forward. But then working our way to the safety position, I thought this was arguably the most interesting position of the team because the Rams elected to start rookie Jordan Fuller alongside veteran John Johnson, and so obviously that means that second year player Taylor Rapp was on the bench for most of the game, though he is nursing an injury, and so obviously it makes sense that, the Rams want to limit his snaps because he did play a little bit of special teams here and there, and then at the end of the game in the last minute or two in the last drive for the Cowboys, Rapp did come out there and play in defense as well. So it's clear that obviously Rapp is going to retain his starting job when healthy, but, we don't know exactly when that's going to happen. But Jordan Fuller, he played a great game. Now, the Rams' defense was horrendous at taking angles and tackling. I mean, they were just putrid. They were missing tackles left, right, and center, and that goes for every single player on that side of the ball. But Fuller had a fantastic tackle on 4th and 3. It was on an Amari Cooper reception. It was a drag route. Fuller had to work through a bunch of trash and guys on the field and kind of just scurry his way over. That was on CeeDee Lamb, I believe. And, he just cranked him. He stopped him short of 4th and 3. The Cowboys were mounting a strong drive there. They were getting in scoring position. They might have been actually in scoring position already in terms of Greg Zuerlein's leg, but it was such a huge play, and it recaptured the momentum for the Rams and allowed the offense to, kind of get out of their own position there on their own side of the field and kind of flip the field. And so that play can't be understated from Jordan Fuller, the rookie, who was really flying around the ball and had some impressive plays today. Now, he was a rookie, so he did miss some tackles like everyone else on the defense, like I mentioned, but it was good to see him out there. And then, you had guys like Leonard Floyd, the new addition, who scooped himself a sack, and there was even a impact play from a guy like Ja'Kai Polite in terms of nearly getting a sack at the end of the game there. He had a hesitation speed rush, to which he got a hurry and a hand on Dak Prescott, but it didn't ultimately result in a sack. It was just a very strong pressure. Now, the defense is going to definitely have to improve moving forward, but at the end of the day, allowing 17 points to arguably one of the best offenses in football is a scoreline that you will take every single time. And so just talking about, the Rams only winning by 3. We're going to be talking about that special teams unit in that next segment. And so when we return, I'm going to have to touch on the kicker performance and you know, the special teams units in general. But make sure to check back with us on Tuesday when we get to really, truly deep dive into the Rams' performance against the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. We're going to have all the numbers. We're going to be talking about, you know, their usage rates, their personnel deployments, how many snaps guys played. We're going to really get in depth with the numbers from PFF and everything. And so that'll be ideal. But make sure to stick with us after the break. The fitness industry is incredibly confusing and oversaturated with BS. I'd like to think my word holds a lot of weight as I've lost 150 pounds over the last 20 months. With that being the case, I've been on the lookout for the perfect protein bar and have finally stumbled upon one called the Built Bar. You need to check them out. They're absolutely delicious and offer 18 different flavors so you can never really get bored. The bars are also healthy. They're low in calorie, they're low in sugar, they have 19 grams of protein per bar, they're high in fiber, and they even work for those on the keto diet. You even get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off all orders. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. So in the last segment, I teased the performance of that special teams unit, which is somewhat of a remade unit for the Rams. Obviously, this is going to be their first year without Greg Zuerlein at kicker for, you know, since many, many years. And so we can just begin right there with Samuel Sloman's performance. He went 2 for 3 from field goals. His long was 35, and he went 2 of 2 for extra points now. Sloman missed his first kick, which was only from 29 yards out, which was incredibly depressing. It doinked off the left upright, and you know, it would have put the Rams up 10-0. Ultimately, it hurt the Rams at the time being, and obviously at the end of the game, looking back, you know, they're just missing too many points and leaving too many points on the field. But you know, it feels like maybe Samuel Sloman had the rookie jitters and kind of shanked that first one, and then you know, kind of settled in a little bit, because the rest of his kicks looked fine, and there was no really legitimate worry in terms of missing the rest. You know, I was obviously nervous because it's been the first time, like I said, for the Rams without Greg Zuerlein. And so you never really know what you're getting with a kicker. And, you know, obviously the nerves are just a natural thing, especially when it's a new kicker, especially when he misses his first kick. But Sloman ultimately did all right. You know, we're going to have to evaluate how he does moving forward. That first kick was worrisome, but he really settled in solidly afterwards. And ultimately, we'll probably get to see more of Sloman moving forward in terms of, you know, his actual range, because all his field goal attempts and all his hits were from within 35. And so those should be, you know, genuine chip shots for just about every kicker in the NFL. Moving to the punting unit, which, you know, was absolutely fantastic as always. Johnny Hecker had 3 punts for an average of 47.3 yards per punt. He had 2 land inside the 20-yard line. And his long was 58 yards. Hecker is as stable and perfect of a kicker as a punter as you can get, really. He continues to, you know, help the Rams flip field position, get the Rams out of bad positions in terms of by flipping the field position, really. And he continues to be a massive underrated weapon for the Rams. And Johnny Hecker, I mean, he's a special punter. There's really no other way to say it. And he continues to just impress. And it's good to see him picking up right where he left off, really. And it looks like, you know, Hecker's probably going to mount himself to another fantastic season at that punter spot. And in terms of kickoff and punt returns, the Rams really didn't have much going on. Cooper Kupp was the punt returner, though I believe he fair caught every single punt, which was, you know, fine, because something needs to be said about not turning the ball over and just kind of securing it and pulling it in. And Kupp's got a fantastic set of hands, so it comes as no surprise that he's able to do that quite cleanly. But in terms of the kickoff returns, Nasimba Webster was the man who had that job, and he only had 1 return for 20 yards. So that was quite uneventful. And, you know, John Bonamago didn't get a ton of run in terms of his new guys returning kicks and punts. But there was plenty of special teams work in terms of the punting unit and in terms of the kicking unit. And so ultimately, the Rams showed out and did pretty well. They did pretty well. They probably outperformed the Cowboys' special teams unit, which is you know, fantastic for the Rams, because Coach Bones is one hell of a special teams coordinator, and obviously, you know, Greg Zuerlein's just an incredible kicker too. And so that was definitely a battle that the Rams had to win, and they did a good job in securing that and really just doing enough to win. So that was ideal. And all three phases of the game for the Rams were able to combine and just do enough to win. And so whether that's a 3-point win or a 20-point win, a win is a win. And so ultimately won the ball game and get to start the season at 1-0 and sit atop their division. Well, not technically, I guess, because the Cardinals do have a divisional win over the 49ers. But, you know, starting 1-0 in a new season is always ideal. And the Rams were able to accomplish that on Sunday Night Football. Make sure to check back in with us on Tuesday to hear our first deep dive post-game from the contest in Week 1. Just a reminder, come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QB's MVP. You can find the page at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.